Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Commend Rhea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the thing. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, study the Bible with you. You may email pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. Visit our website, pinetopcoc.org, or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, Windsor Community of Russell County. Normally, we have Bible class beginning at 9 o'clock Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 30 Sunday evening. However, today, we will be having one service at 11 a.m. with Brother Eric speaking and using an FM transmitter to broadcast on 97.9 FM in the parking lot. The coronavirus shutdown has been all about mitigation. The measures taken have been intended to slow and prevent the spread of the virus. These measures have included stay-at-home orders, travel bans, social distances, diligent hand-washing practices, the wearing of gloves and masks. The intent of these efforts to stall the spread of a virus has never been seen before in the history of the world. If we have made such extreme efforts to protect our physical bodies from becoming infected with coronavirus, then what shall we do to protect ourselves and the entire body of Christ from becoming infected with a spiritual virus? A spiritual virus is anything that spiritually corrupts Christians, individually or the church collectively. It could be a false teaching that leads to false beliefs and practices, or it could be a lustful sin that would cause us to forsake the Lord and His ways. Surely such dangers demand that we make efforts to protect ourselves and the church. A virus is an effective figure for spiritual dangers like error and sin because of the way a virus works. A virus enters the bodies undetected and then attacks the body's cells. A single virus particle uses the enzymes within a healthy cell to multiply itself. It and its offsprings then leave the cell weakened and even dead, and they go on to attack more cells in the same way. Eventually, that single virus particle can affect thousands of cells, making the entire body sick and possibly causing death. Like a virus, spiritual dangers prey on unguarded Christians, leave their soul weakened and estranged from God, and then go on to do the same to others. Just as a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump of dough, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9, a spiritual virus also threatens to infect an entire church. Indeed, a whole church can potentially be brought down by one unchecked false teaching or one overlooked sin. Today, let's search the Scripture to see some spiritual applications that we can make from the pandemic that is attacking our society. To protect against spiritual viruses, we must be alert and aware of the threats against us. Peter wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, was walking around seeking whom he may devour." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9. It is the devil who can cause our minds to be led astray from the simplicity and the purity of Christ. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. His influence comes through others or even from within ourselves when we are tempted or deceived. So we must be aware. For example, Paul told the elders of the Ephesian church to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, because savage wolves would come in among you, and even from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. In Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. Without proper awareness and protection, such attacks threaten to ruin souls. Thankfully, we have the full armor of God to protect us against the spiritual viruses, which are the schemes of the devil, as Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Of course, we have to put it on and use it for this armor to be effective. When used properly, it creates an immunity that no virus of Satan can penetrate. Individual Christians must use this armor to defend themselves against temptation and deceit. Collectively, Christians must arm themselves and work together to prevent corruption from entering the church. The elders must be faithful and strong in overseeing to defend the flock from sin and error. Therefore, let us take our defense against spiritual threats seriously. If we go to great extremes to protect ourselves and others from the mortal illnesses like COVID, how much more should we do to protect our immortal souls from the attacks of Satan? Some apparently do not take the present virus threat seriously. How many times have you heard someone state that the guidelines that have been issued have taken away our rights, or government is taking away our freedoms? When you're out in the public, how many people do you see who are refusing to wear a mask and to keep the social distancing that has been ordered? Often people are making this type of comment because they are allowing their emotions to control their thinking. If we choose to ignore the guidelines published for our safety, then we may have to suffer the consequences of becoming infected or dying. If we ignore the commands of God because of our emotional thinking causes us to accept the doctrine of men, we will have to suffer the consequences of being disobedient to the Creator of the universe. Let us then diligently guard that which God values so much that He gave His only begotten Son for it. Another similarity the coronavirus has with sin and error is that it's being spread by people who do not realize that they are infected. Many times people do not realize that there is sin in their lives, or that they choose to believe that which is not from God. Those Christians in the first century who were trying to require that Gentiles had to keep the law of Moses, including being circumcised, to be a Christian, apparently were not aware of their error. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed." Paul would not agree with many in our society that it doesn't matter what you believe or teach. The addition of keeping the law of Moses to the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ had perverted the gospel of Jesus. Paul continued in verses 11 and 12 to certify that the doctrine that he taught was from God and not from man. Then in chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he said, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came privately in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul called those teaching the perverted gospel false brethren. Jude wrote in verse 3, exhorting us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul compared the gospel to a human will, in that after it had been confirmed, it cannot be added to or deleted from. Jesus confirmed the gospel by his sacrifice upon the cross. Today, many seek to change the gospel that was revealed by the Holy Spirit, but any change is a perversion. Paul also told the Galatian brethren in chapter 5, verse 3, "For I testify again that every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." They wanted to take parts of what was in the law of Moses, but not all. Paul told them that if they took part of the old covenant, that they were obligated to keep it all. Today, if one seeks to justify a doctrine or a practice because it's in the Old Testament, they would be obligated to keep all of the commands of that covenant, including the animal sacrifices and the annual trips for visits, feasts in Jerusalem. The Colossian brethren were told in chapter 2, verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The sacrifice of Jesus fulfilled the old covenant. The Galatian brethren were told in chapter 5, verse 4, that if they followed the perverted gospel, then Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Even if doctrines and practices have been followed for centuries, if it is not revealed by the Holy Spirit, it is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Paul said to walk circumspectly, to be aware of the danger around us. He also admonished us to redeem the time, to not delay obeying God, and to understand the will of the Lord. To understand God's will, we must be willing to put aside our emotional thinking and what is pleasing to us, and to accept and obey what is pleasing to God. His word will be the standard by which we will be judged when our time on earth is over. The Lord willing and with his help, we will get through this pandemic soon. May we diligently study the gospel of Christ that we may remove sin and error from our lives. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context. Consider all the inspired writers have said and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 50, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him." Then in verse 24, Jesus said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being part of this study. Until next week at 7:15, have a blessed week.